Hey, it's Kirsten. Do you feel like you're spending way too much money on supplements? When I started out on my health journey, I was also shocked about how expensive high-quality supplements were, especially as I was upping how many I was taking. That's why when I became a practitioner back in 2018, I started offering my clients a way to save up to 25% off many of their supplements through a company called Wellevate, which is spelled Wellevate. Through Wellevate, you can order many of the supplements that you're already taking, like Pure Encapsulations, Gaia Herbs, Enzymedica, and others at discounts of up to 25% off retail. And shipping is free for orders over $49 within the United States. The only way to buy supplements through Wellevate is through a practitioner, and I will earn a small commission at no additional cost to you while you're saving money. So if you want to start saving upwards of 25% off your supplement bill, go to the resources page on my website at carefullyhealing.com/resources and go to the Wellevate section. You don't have to be a client, just set up your account and start saving. I'm Kirsten Ramstrom, former Wall Street analyst turned holistic health practitioner. In 2015, I suffered from chronic allergies, lifelong back pain, and fatigue and brain fog that were so bad that I feared that I had a brain tumor. Then I found the first medical medium book, and I quickly recovered from these symptoms plus many others. Fast forward through all of my trial and error and hard lessons learned, and now I'm using all of that knowledge and experience to help people just like you heal. I created the Quest for Healing podcast to give you clarity on what a health journey really looks like, guidance to get you through challenges you may come up against, and support and inspiration here whenever you need it. So if you're looking to take control of your health so that you can move forward with your life, you're in the right place. Welcome to episode 94. It's great to be back, and I apologize for the delay in releasing a new episode. Life has gotten very busy for me, and after trying to get everything done and expending a lot of adrenaline to do it, I'm trying to take it a little easier on myself. I have always lived my life trying to push and push to get everything done, and part of my journey right now is realizing that I need to create some more balance for myself. And just last night, I was reading Cleanse to Heal because I'm just finishing up a round of the Simplified 369, and I rediscovered chapter 2 in that book, which is titled What's Causing Burnout? Clearly, that showed its face to me because I needed that chapter right now. So if you've been burning the candle at both ends, check out that chapter and maybe you'll find it as helpful as I did. But on to this week's episode. I am thrilled to have Caroline Kelm as my guest this week. Her health journey started when she was having sleep issues, felt shaky all the time, was getting easily winded and lightheaded, and her symptoms were making it harder and harder for her to live her life, run her company, and take care of her family. After the birth of her second child, she had to leave her job and she ended up on Mattress Island. And while she had dabbled in medical mediums work before, after she received a POTS diagnosis, she fully committed and her health has rebounded from there. Caroline was, and still is, extremely sensitive to supplements, so we talk through how she handled that. She also had a lot of ups and downs as she was healing, so we dig through that as well and talk about what she did to pull herself through. So if you're sensitive to supplements, having trouble staying on your protocol, or you think your protocol isn't working for you, this episode is for you. And with that, let's dive right in. Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I am so excited for our conversation.
You have no idea how excited I am to be here. As I will tell you in a little bit, when I got really sick, I listened to every single episode and waited each week and then became biweekly every other week until each episode came out. So I couldn't wait to be on here.
I'm so excited. And that means the world to me. You have no idea for all the time that I put into this. It just warms my heart to get that feedback. So thank you so much.
Yes, truly every episode.
Awesome. I love that. So why don't you take us back? You've got a really good health story and I can't wait to talk about it. Why don't you take us back and talk about where your health journey started?
Yeah. So it's so interesting. Once you learn all the medical medium information, you go back to your childhood and you're thinking, that's why I had strep throat all the time. And that's why I got mono when I was 14. I essentially would literally get strep throat all the time. I would get swimmer's ear nonstop. I feel like I was just constantly on the pink liquid amoxicillin. And so I even remember whenever I was like in elementary and middle school, my mom wouldn't let me spend the night out two nights in a row because I would always get sick. Anytime I overdid it or, you know, did too many things, I would get sick. And so I clearly remember her saying, you know, no, you can't do two nights in a row. Or I remember I really wanted to go to this lock-in when I was in middle school. And it was like a huge drama about whether I was going to be allowed to go because kids stay up, you know, half the night. And it was all surrounded around me trying to make sure I didn't get sick. But when I was in high school, when I was 14, I got mono and was severely sick. So out of school, maybe for a month or more. And
wow.
It was a really bad, bad case. And at the time I had mono and then I had really bad strep throat, which we know that Epstein-Barr is stage two is mono and that strep is often a cofactor. So I had the terrible mono, the terrible strep throat, and then severe anemia. So of course the doctors wanted to get me on iron supplements and, you know, all the things that we shouldn't do since the iron supplements feed the Epstein-Barr. I guess fortunately for me, I had an adverse reaction to the iron and so I couldn't take it. And so they told me to get iron through food. And so I did actually like eat spinach and but of course, they also told me to eat lots and lots of red meat. So not helpful there. But, you know, it took quite a while for me to recover. And then, you know, I really just felt like that, you know, from high school and going to college and really for the rest of my life, I just always battled fatigue. And knowing that I couldn't just, you know, go out and burn myself at both ends or I'd end up sick. And I just remember looking at other people at college and thinking, I would give anything to have the energy they have, you know, and I guess I just didn't get that gene. So it's really liberating now to find out why I wasn't going a million miles an hour and why I would get sick so easily. Because now I can, you know, I know what to do about it. But I definitely found myself in college and even my latter years in high school relying on caffeine. So like I had to have the caffeine to get up in the morning. I was not a morning person. Also thought, oh, just must be my genes. I'm not a morning person. But I really relied on that caffeine to get me going, to get me, you know, through studying for tests or whatever. I had to have it. I mean, I even remember I couldn't go to bed without it ready and the timer set. So I could just wake up and come out to the coffee already made.
I know I'm getting ahead of us a little bit, but have you read the chapter on caffeine in the new Brain Saver book?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay, so it's right next to the chapter on alcohol, which I was not really excited to read because I have been known to still occasionally have a glass of wine. I drink seriously a lot less than I ever did before, but I think the caffeine chapter was even scarier than the alcohol chapter.
Wow.
Amazing what that stuff does to our body. So
I got to dive into that.
Yeah, it was very notable. I'll leave it at that.
Well, no wonder we're all addicted to it because, you know, it creates the adrenaline and then we're running on the adrenaline. And I think that was how I functioned half the time.
I think that's how half of our country functions all the time,
yes,
too. Yeah.
Yes. Just coffee and adrenaline.
Yep. I certainly did. So anyway, sorry to interrupt on that.
Oh, no, that's a good. I'm definitely going to check that out. So I felt like, you know, even going into my 20s, I always battled fatigue. And then I started really noticing that I would get so extremely bloated around my cycle. Like you know, going from a regular stomach to literally being like, oh, I look 3 months pregnant, but really I'm 22. And, you know, and of course, doctors and everyone just says, oh, it's hormones. But, you know, it's so interesting that anything I ever heard from the doctors never really resonated with me. And so then when you actually find out that your, you know, immune system is going to protect your reproductive system during ovulation and your cycle, and that's why the bacteria and the viruses get an opportunity to sort of fester, it's like, that makes so much sense. But I would say that I just kind of continued on pushing through. And if I slept well, if I ate well and took care of myself, I probably felt all right. If I overdid it, if I was drinking or whatever, you know, that stuff would set me back. And then when I had my first pregnancy, that's when things really started to head downhill. So
how old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 31. And so, I mean, I immediately felt horrible. You know, I think that it was, looking back, it felt like neurological fatigue, like even just sitting up or getting up to do something felt exhausting. And I did continue to work, but I remember coming home at like 5 o'clock and immediately getting in the bed. And just if it was the weekend, it might have been 5 o'clock on Friday, and I might have been there till Sunday. It was really a struggle. And not to mention, I just remember feeling so depressed, like that this is not me. I don't even know who this is. Where's my positivity? It was just really tough. So I made it through, and I feel like, you know, my health, obviously I had a lot more down to go from after this, but, you know, it somewhat rebounded, I guess, after that. But I didn't have another child for 7 more years because I couldn't bring myself to put myself back in that state. And, you know, I would always hear girls who say, I love being pregnant. I felt amazing. I just remember like steam coming out of my ears and being like, how in the world did they love that? That was like the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. So, you know, I definitely battled with fatigue again, you know, here and there. And it was very obvious when I, you know, was doing too much, going too hard, and would, you know, take myself down. But, you know, I felt like I was managing it okay. But little weird things started showing up, like perioral dermatitis on my face.
What does that look like?
So it's essentially a rash, like right around like the bottom of your nose. And then it can often go all the way like around in a circle around your mouth, like parentheses. And so, of course, going to the dermatologist, they're like, here are some antibiotics for you to take for that. So, and you know what? It did clear it up. However, probably 3-4 months later, it came back. And it was like a round and a round and a round of different creams and steroid creams and this and that and more antibiotics. And, you know, it would come back. And honestly, I still have it to this day. This is one of the things I'm still working on getting rid of, but it's in a manageable state at the moment. So then fast forward to having my second child that I waited 7 years to have, and finally, you know, got up the courage. I guess long enough time had gone by that I'd forgotten how horrible it was. And so I'm 38. And so this pregnancy was just even worse than the first. So fortunately, my husband and I owned our own company, and I could step away from work. I mean, I was very fortunate, but I was like, I cannot work. I mean, I can't function. I'm so exhausted. My brain's not working. And I just remember picking my older son up from school and him saying, Mommy, will you come outside and kick the ball with me? And I would just be laying on the couch, you know, almost crying and just being like, I can't. I'm so sorry. And he'd be like, why, Mommy, why? And it was just heartbreaking. But, you know, I just barely feel like I made it through the second pregnancy. And I did make it through. I feel like after each child, I had this strange, like, bout of adrenaline right after having them. And so it was like the minute he came out, I was like, oh, I'm so much better. My energy's back. The fog is lifted. I think honestly, my body was just pumping adrenaline through. And because you're getting no sleep and everything, but yet I was functioning.
Your body knew it had things it had to get done.
I think that must be it.
Yeah.
And so for the first probably 2 or 3 months, I was okay. And it was like, poof, all that was over. And I was like back to myself and functioning and taking care of the baby. And then all of a sudden, all these strange things started happening. So all of a sudden, my eyes got crazy dry. And I had never had dry eyes a day in my life, like not even once. And so I couldn't put my contacts in. And so I thought, well, this is weird. And I was just wearing my glasses and went to a doctor and they're like, oh, you know, just drink more water. And I mean, I already felt like I was a person who drank a lot of water. And then it was just carried on and on and on. And then I'm now at like probably my third eye doctor. And they say, well, it's probably hormonal and you need to just take a lot of omegas. So of course I start popping, you know, tons of omegas, mercury filled omegas, and nothing was making a difference. So I actually love to surf and you can't surf in glasses. And it'd been like 9 months by this point. So I finally said, all right, I'm going to get LASIK. So I got LASIK. I actually had to get what's called PRK, which is a little bit more intense than LASIK. And then what they do is they give you antibiotic drops that I think you take for like 3 weeks after. And so what you don't realize is even though you're putting them into your eye, it's immediately running down your throat. And so then, you know, I'm essentially ingesting them 3 times a day for weeks. And the next thing you know, I have the worst heartburn, out of control heartburn. I've never had heartburn in my life. And my stomach was extreme bloating and it was just like out of nowhere. So that was when I went to my first functional medicine doctor, my first of three, and she immediately put me on thyroid medication and about a bazillion supplements and told me to eat paleo. So lots of meat, vegetables, which is great, and very little fruit. So obviously really heading down the wrong path there. And so I did that for a while, but you know, I started getting worse and I actually had a bad experience at the office with drawing blood. And so I just said, I just don't feel good about that place. I'm not going there anymore. So I continued taking the thyroid medication, but I think I kind of stopped taking all the supplements. And so then I went on looking for another practitioner because I'm still having the extreme bloating, a little bit of heartburn, still having the crazy dry eyes. So I get to my next practitioner and I get even more supplements. I'm still taking the thyroid medication and now she's got me taking cod liver oil, colostrum, and a bunch of other stuff. So this is when I started having lots of bad reactions. So I would take like one drop of something and immediately go and vomit for like 2 hours.
Oh no.
And so I was having all these, you know, terrible reactions. And then she would try a different thing. And then that thing would make me feel shaky or, you know, even more lightheaded because I was having lightheadedness when I would stand up after having my second child. And so looking back, I knew not to do this, but she would say, well, it's the Herzheimer reaction. You just got to work your way up. So put a drop in a glass of water and just drink half. And so I like work my way up on this supplement in addition to all the other ones until I land in the emergency room.
Oh man, which is such a bummer because I will tell you, I've worked with so many people who are sensitive to supplements and those are the exact suggestions we have for them. And for when they're healing supplements, that strategy works, but it's so hard if you're having the wrong supplements.
Wrong supplements.
And it's going the wrong direction.
Yes. I feel like many, many of the supplements I was on are many that Anthony says don't take. So I landed in the ER and the doctor was like, you just need to get off everything. You need to just get off all of it, including the thyroid medication. So everyone should work with their doctor. But I did work with the doctor to wean off the thyroid medication and I got off of everything. So I sort of was feeling a little bit better. And at this time, I was at my hairdresser and was explaining all my problems. Poor hairdressers, they have to listen to everyone's life problems.
Amen. It's like hair therapy, right?
Yes. And she said, have you heard of celery juice? And I was like, no. And she said, it's helping people with bloating. Just get on the internet and look it up. And so I started.
I'm sorry. I just have to laugh. It's helping people with bloating. Yeah, that's all. Amen. It does help people with bloating. But I love that that's sort of her lead. She leads with that.
I don't even think she knew it was attributed to the medical medium. She was like, just look it up. I think it's helping people. So I did track it back to the medical medium. And I did see all these people and healing. And I immediately ordered the celery juice book and read it. I'm not going to lie. I was a little devastated. I was like, oh my, I have all these things. And, you know, at the time was eating eggs and I was gluten-free, but I was, you know, eating all the things. And so I slowly tried to start implementing things.
Okay. But I've got to ask you, tell me about the first day you had celery juice.
Okay. So for whatever reason, I've been okay with celery juice.
Oh, amen. I love you. Great.
I've all along been okay with celery juice. And I've also all along been okay with the heavy metal smoothie. But I also can tell you, I can't take a drop of zinc and I can't take a drop of B12. So.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Yes. It's so different for everybody. Oh, I'm so glad we talked about that. That's so fascinating.
To this day, I still cannot take a drop of zinc or a drop of B12.
But you can just chug down 16 or 32 ounces of celery juice and you're fine.
Yes. So bizarre. I drink 32 every day. So bizarre.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
So I was okay. And so I was like doing some celery juice here or there. And then I would like have my matcha after that. And then I might make a heavy metal smoothie a couple days a week. I mean, I just was kind of baby stepping into it and trying to do some recipes here or there. I didn't buy eggs anymore, but like, I think I was still having gluten-free bread with eggs in them. I mean, I certainly wasn't like 100% compliant, but I felt like, you know, I was doing all right, but I was just, you know, still the dry eyes, still the bloating, still the fatigue. It was all still there. So I did something that really wasn't smart. And I went to work with a third functional medicine practitioner because I thought to myself, okay, I think this might be the right one for me. And surely she can help. And I've been doing this other stuff and I'm not really seeing a lot. So let me go do this. So then she gave me charcoal, which I think I took for like 45 days straight. And
one of the other things that medical medium says, don't consume.
Don't take. You're just ripping out all of your nutrients. She did encourage more fruits and vegetables. So she wasn't like the second one who said like, maybe have like 5 blueberries. She very much encouraged any fruits and vegetables and things like that. And I did many, many stool tests and all had the H. pylori and did colonics and all the things.
And how are you feeling?
Not good. Not good. I really think the charcoal did a number on me. And so then I started developing more symptoms where I was feeling shaky all the time. I was waking up at 2 a.m. and not being able to go back to sleep. And had, you know, I'd been a great sleeper my whole life. That was new to me. Whenever I would with my son, who was like one at the time, would wake up in the middle of the night, my heart would start racing. So I was just like slowly developing more and more symptoms. And then it was kind of like a combination of many things, but I went through a period of really high stress. We also moved into a new house that had like a jacuzzi tub. So like every time we would shower, it would activate mold that was in there that we didn't realize. So then it's like we're sleeping in a room that we eventually had tested and it was testing for mold. And then I also did a powdered liver cleanse that like you purchase and it comes in the thing. And I think those sort of three things landed me back in the ER. So I was like, this was the worst of the worst at this point. I could barely walk up a flight of stairs without being extremely lightheaded or winded. I was having crazy heart palpitations. I mean, there were moments where I was like wondering if I was having like small heart attacks. I developed like extreme insomnia like overnight. So where my body was like internally shaking and externally shaking. So like my hands, I couldn't hold them steady at all. They were shaking so badly. And if I laid down, I think the medical medium calls it wired but tired, or someone calls it wired but tired. But you're so physically exhausted, but yet you lay down and your body's like humming and you can't get any sleep. And so I would just be awake for like nights on end. And so I was definitely having tachycardia, adrenaline rushes, severe lightheadedness. So like I couldn't, if I like my son had a sock on the floor, I was to the point where I was picking things up with my toes because I didn't want to bend over even halfway to like pick something up. And then also like a heavy chest. So just like difficulty breathing. So of course, when I went to the ER, like it did the EKG and ran on the blood work and they were like, you know, you look fine. We can't see anything wrong. You know, you probably need a vacation and maybe you might want to get a therapist and just one that's not your friend.
Right. It's all in your head. You just need a vacation. Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Vacation. That's why I'm here in the ER. 'Cause this is really a vacation. Wow. It's just amazing to me how many times, you know, I hear this from people. It's just.
Yes, I know. It's really heartbreaking, you know, and honestly, I remember not even wanting to go to the ER because I knew that was what they were going to say to me. But I also was having scary heart events that I didn't not want to go. So I wish I could say this is when I went all in with the medical medium, but I didn't. I went down the path of saying, maybe I'm really anemic. And if I just get an iron infusion, I'll feel better. Even though I had read the Epstein-Barr feeds on iron, even though I had read that and I knew that, I just was so desperate to feel better that I just gave it a whirl. And so I had, you know, been sent, my primary physician sent me to the hematologist. I got the iron infusions. 2 weeks later, I had the follow-up and he said, how are you feeling? And I said, not good. And he said, then I'm not your problem. And I think you have something called POTS syndrome. So of course, I immediately look up what that is and look it up on the medical medium website. And I have all those things. And again, if I had gone to somebody else, they might have diagnosed me with neurological Lyme. I mean, the things all cross over. So at that point, that was like it. Okay, now I'm 100% committing to medical medium.
So can we talk about that a little bit? So the hematologist says, I think you have POTS. Did he send you to another doctor? Like, what was the thing that sort of put you over the edge where you were like, clearly medical medium is the thing I need to go to instead of continuing to follow the normal medical intervention?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because yes, they did. The next step is to refer you to a cardiologist. And I did continue down that path because I wanted to just make sure, you know, I'm a mother of two. I want to make sure I'm being responsible and having my heart checked out. But I also started doing research. And so a friend connected me with someone else who had had POTS for like 12 years. And I immediately got on the phone with her and she explained to me how she'd been living with POTS and she'd been working with doctors all of these years. And essentially her way of managing it was taking salt pills every day, having to take Adderall, steroids, and essentially kind of living a life at home, you know, structuring like she really, you know, didn't have the physical ability to go and do things out of the home. Then I also got on social media and found people who'd healed POTS with medical medium. And I got on the phone with them and they were telling me about how they were better. And that, so immediately I was like, I can do this. This person's been sick for over a decade and not getting better, or I can do what they're doing and heal myself. And I'm definitely going to do that. So it was like, that was my moment. So, and I want to give a shout out to Healing Athlete. She's one of the people, Megan.
Megan, she was on episode 57 of Quest for Healing. And yes, I always remember the episode number for hers because I've had so many people ask me about that episode and I've sent it out to so many people because it was such a good one. I'm so glad it was helpful. And I'm so glad you connected with her. That's awesome.
Yeah, she took the time to talk to me. And, you know, I was just all in. I was like, this is what I'm doing. And so I know that the best way for people to move into this lifestyle is to baby step into it. But, you know, I just went all in. I was like, I'm going all in. There's not another no food coming in my mouth from this day forward. And I'm not going to lie, I think the detox was a little rough. And I definitely learned right away that I could not handle supplements. And I mean, even one drop. So, because before I had been, you know, kind of taking some zinc here and there and whatever. And at this point, I'm so toxic now, I can't handle anything. And so I would say for the first 6 months, I probably took not a single supplement. I really couldn't even handle like a half a cap of Micro-C.
And how much healing did you do in that 6 months without the supplements?
A lot. Yeah. I was able to like be out of the bed and like running errands. I mean, maybe if I went and did something for, you know, if I was up and doing things for 5 hours, then maybe I'd have to lay down for a few hours. But I mean, it got me out of being in the bed for, I mean, I probably was in the bed most of the day for 6 weeks to 2 months. It's actually hard to recall now, but it felt like forever because you're living in your bed all day, every day. You know, it's like if I could get up and go down and make something to eat and like maybe empty the dishwasher, that was a big win, you know?
Mm-hmm. So in those first 6 months, you were really just doing, you were doing the food. Were you doing cleanses? Were you doing anything else? Like how did you approach it?
So I have really still not been able to manage a cleanse. I've started a couple, haven't been able to finish them. I'm hoping 2023 is my year, but I would wake up and have celery juice. And I didn't do lemon water at first because I was so hungry that I did have a practitioner recommend that I do celery juice and go straight to the smoothies just to start getting the glucose in. And so I had to do that for a long time. I couldn't bring in lemon water for a while. So, and I just remember eating nonstop. And I was not fat free. Also, that I think was too much detox for me. So I would have the celery juice, the heavy metal detox smoothie. Then I often made the banana oat pancakes, but I made waffles and I would use water instead of almond milk. To try to keep them lower fat. And then I would generally have like potatoes and avocado for lunch because by that time I was so used to being like a fat heavy diet, you know? And so I couldn't make it past lunch without a little bit of fat. And then maybe I would have, you know, a salad and then bananas and some kind of medical medium dinner. And I lived like that for a long time. I'm finally now to the point where I can go until dinner without fat, but that's taken me over a year and a half to get to.
I'm so excited we talked about this, because even this morning I was in a Facebook group and there was somebody who was brand new to Medical Medium, and they had just started doing a mono cleanse, a potato mono cleanse, and they were having all kinds of issues and detox symptoms and all this stuff. And they were sort of freaking out. And my answer was, you don't have to start there. You can start just the way you started, which is sort of what I did too. Cause I did 4 days of a cleanse and was like, I can't do this. Right. And I just went back to base, or at least I started on the basics, cause I wasn't even back. I hadn't done them. Just start bringing in the foods one at a time.
Yes.
You don't have to do them all. You don't have to go fat-free day one. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You just start. So
yes.
That's great. Okay.
And honestly, I just felt like I couldn't get enough calories in. And when I started, I actually lost 10, 15 pounds, and I got super nervous about it. But a practitioner said, don't worry, it'll come back on. It'll come back on. And sure enough, it did. With me eating, I eat less and gained weight. So it was like my body acclimated. So, as everyone says, oh my gosh, it is 100% 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. It is to this day. I still, like I was telling you before we got on, I was in October, I was like, yes, I am back. Like, let's do this 2023. And then I got some horrible virus over Christmas and it sent me backwards and reared up a few of my symptoms, but I'm definitely like nearly recovered from that. But I know it'll continue to be that way for probably a bit longer until I get even more healed. But it was definitely an up and down, up and down, up and down constant. So I'd have, 2 amazing days, then 2 days in the bed, then 4 days, then 2 hours. It constantly fluctuated.
So in that first 6 months, what was some of the healing that you saw? What were some of the things that healed quickly? What were the things that kept you going on this?
So I would say that I just noticed I could do a little bit more. So it was like, at first I could barely go to the grocery store. Then I was noticing, okay, I can go to the grocery store and put away the groceries and do a few things, and then I've got to lie down. And so it was just slowly but surely, I was noticing I could do a little bit more. I also was noticing the shaking going away and the heart palpitations. Gosh, I forgot to mention that I did end up doing a series of heart tests with heart monitors, like a heart echocardiogram, a heart CT scan. And they did actually find, I guess, what they would call a concerning episode of ventricle tachycardia. They didn't feel like it was severe enough to do anything about. They would maybe do an ablation, but they felt like because it was only one, they weren't super concerned and they just wanted me to monitor myself and then check back in. Well, I already knew I was getting better. I could already tell. By the time I had completed all these tests, I could already tell my heart palpitations were better. Then I would notice, like, I would be able to go up the stairs and I wasn't winded, or I could pick up a sock and I would think, oh my, I didn't have to do that with my toes. Or I would squat down to get something out of a cabinet and stand back up and not have to hold on to the counter. So it was just like little signs here and there that I was making progress. But I mean, of course, I had many days where I'd be sobbing and thinking, I'm going to be sick forever. Is this working? You just so badly want to feel better and you wanted to feel better yesterday. So it has been a long road to get here. But I think the thing that keeps you going is to see the little wins that you're making here and there and here and there.
Absolutely, because you start bunching those together and you've really made some great progress.
That's right. Yes.
That's great.
And so, I've had moments of being sick, many moments of thinking that I was never going to be able to travel again, that I was never going to be able to have, the strength to exercise again. I mean, many, 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 many fearful thoughts. But I finally felt like I had the strength to take a trip. And so, and you know, just leaving your kitchen is scary, right? You've got your juicer, you've got your this, you've got your wild blueberries, you've got your all your things. And so I was like a nervous wreck and packed which I do when I travel now. I pack a whole suitcase with a juicer and a mini blender and powders and medical meeting compliant foods and sweet potato noodles and all the things. But so I did that. And of course, wherever I go now has to have a good grocery store close by.
I know how that goes. Absolutely.
So, you know, I would say that I remember going out on an excursion and coming back and immediately having to lay down. You know, I wasn't 100% healed, but the fact that I got there, I went there, I could do that, gave me such a confidence booster of okay, you are getting your life back. You know, you never even dreamed you were going to be able to do this, 8 months ago. So that was in February of 2022. And since I've been on many more trips, so that feels good to say, but you know, I would say that the struggle, you know, it is still to this day, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. So finally in October, I feel well enough to go back to work. And so I'm starting that process right now. But I would say the things that I've still are working on healing is really the neurological fatigue. That's the one that I know for most people is the hardest to kick. And it's like, some days I feel great and other days it's kind of a struggle, but you know, I can still function. I can still get through a day. So that is one that I'm looking forward to alleviating. I would say I still deal with bloating. And I would say when I got sick over Christmas, a little bit of the shaking, just a teeny bit of the shaking came back, a teeny bit of heart palpitations when I would wake up at night came back. But, you know, I would say the main thing now that I'm working on is the fatigue, and I know I'll get there. So, and I am going to try to work harder in 2023 to try to attempt some cleanses, you know, really cut my fats back to having some more fat-free days, those types of things.
Awesome. So as you're focusing on the neuro fatigue, because I agree with you, that's one that's really tenacious.
Yes.
And that was something I started out with too. And I can definitely feel the days when it still hangs on. So what are some of the tricks that you're doing now to fend that off?
Oh, wow. I wish I had a solid answer for you. I mean, it's really different day to day. I haven't found a specific food, and maybe I need to try the energy shifter more. I mean, I've definitely tried that one a few times. But I haven't found a specific smoothie or food or anything that really boosts me. I've more just found that sometimes if I push through, I kind of get a little energy. Like if I go run an errand or whatever, it kind of like a body in motion stays in motion kind of thing. But other times, you know, I just, you know, might make it through whatever it is I need to do, get the kids fed, this and that. And then I'm like, I got to go lay down. And maybe it's, you know, 7 o'clock and, you know, I got to go call it for the night. But I really haven't found anything food-wise that'll turn the fatigue around in a moment. So if any listeners out there have found anything and want to message me, please do. But I've just kind of found that sometimes I just got to call it and I got to rest. And sometimes if I go outside or go run an errand or go do something, it kind of brings my energy back up again. And I always am conscious about that because I don't ever want to trigger adrenaline. But, you know, sometimes just kind of continuing to go helps.
Got it. You know, I think that brings up such a good point because there are things that just take time. And I think time is a very underrated aspect of healing, that it just can take time and there's nothing we can do about that when it just takes time.
I think the nerves are something, and I don't remember exactly from the book. I want to say, no one quote me on this, that it takes like 2 to 5 years to regenerate. I think that it is just a lengthy process healing that nerve damage.
Absolutely. So if you were talking to somebody who was just starting out on this journey, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I would first tell them, you know, to take each habit change one at a time, you know, so it obviously can feel super overwhelming at first. So just implement one thing at a time. If you're going to maybe just start, and maybe, you know, celery juice might be overwhelming for people to make. So, you know, if you can't do that first thing in the morning, maybe just start with the heavy metal smoothie and have celery juice in the afternoon on an empty stomach, or, you know, just find what works with you that you can just take one baby step after the next. And then the other thing I want to tell to people is that you can 100% incorporate this lifestyle into the life you want to live. So, you know, I still go out to eat with my friends, but I might order the salad and ask for onions on it and bring my own dressing. Or I obviously travel with a suitcase full of food and a juicer, but I still want to travel. You know, I want to be able to take my kids to see places or be able to just live life. If there's anything that being in the bed taught me, was that I don't want to waste a minute of this life not out living. And so, you know, you can do all those things and still not eat no foods. You know, I will not put a no food in my mouth from here until the end of time, most likely. And I am still, you know, trying out and living, you know, to the best of my ability. So
that's awesome. And Anthony does talk about how onions are really good to eat when you're eating out because it can help kill things that might be on your food, which is why you brought those up. So I love that. That's a great little tidbit.
I also have heard to take an oil of oregano capsule, but I'm too sensitive for that.
Got it.
One day I'll have onions and oil of oregano, but for now it's just the onions.
I've definitely used the oil of oregano trick. So yes, absolutely. Because you don't want to pick up anything new. So this is awesome. Right. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been so fun.
I had the best time, Kirsten. And I really just want to reiterate how much hope this gave me on those days when I felt like I was never going to heal or that healing was possible for everyone but me. These gave me constant affirmation that I could get better, healing was possible, stay the course. And plus, it gave me tons of tips and tidbits about what people did that I could incorporate into my own protocol. So I'm so grateful for you and for this podcast. And you just don't even know the people that you're impacting. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And if people want to find you on social media, where can they look?
Yes, I have the longest Instagram handle ever. It's hopeful_healing_with_Caroline.
Perfect. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So if people want to find you, they can reach out. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for saying so many nice things about the podcast. It's so wonderful to hear them. It makes all the effort that I put into this so worth it. Because sometimes when I sit here in my room all by myself working on these things, I don't know who hears it. So the feedback from you is so welcome. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate you coming on and paying it forward on this, because I know it's going to help a lot of people.
I sure hope so. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're looking for the energy shifter shot that Caroline mentioned, it's one of the Brain Saver shots. You can find that recipe in Medical Medium's Brain Saver book or in the Brain Saver Protocols book. I have links for those in the show notes, along with how you can find Caroline on social media and some of the other things that we talked about during the episode. You can only see the show notes if you've followed Quest for Healing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but you can also find them on my website at carefullyhealing.com/podcast. If you found this episode inspiring or have a friend who has been dealing with similar symptoms, please share this episode with them. Thank you for joining me today on the Quest for Healing podcast. These discussions are not intended to provide medical advice, but rather to give you examples of methods and modalities that you may find interesting, informative, or helpful. Please work with your doctor as you undertake your own health journey. Hey, it's Kirsten. Before I started out on my health journey, I didn't know how poisonous many of the cleaners I used in my home were. Then when I started trying to clean the toxins out of my body, I started to question if the cleaners I was using were just adding back more. And how does that make sense when we're using toxic chemicals to get things clean? So imagine how excited I was when I found non-toxic, fragrance-free, essential oil-free Branch Basics cleaners. Now I use them for many things around my house, including scrubbing my kitchen and bathroom, cleaning my juicer, and as the laundry detergent for cleaning my clothes. Plus, it's also the soap that I use to wash my fruit because it's also sodium lauryl sulfate-free. So check out branchbasics.com. Their starter kits make it so easy to get started, and you can use my code CAREFULLYHEALING, which is all one word, for 15% off your purchase. And because I always want to be upfront with you, this is an affiliate link, so I will earn a small commission if you buy using my code. But I only recommend this product because I love it and use it myself. So if you're ready to start cleaning your home with a healthier cleaner, go to branchbasics.com.